B-Pod Studios.
By the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Wall dick, well, yeah!
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show!
Forgive me.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Fear me.
Fear me.
Respect me.
Respect me.
Respect me. Why? Because I shop at the Rogue House.
Rogue House.
Rogue House. The Rogue House Leather Dojo.
Leather Dojo.
This is James Stewart from 98.5 The Sports Hub. And if you want to look tough like me, Rogue House Leather Dojo is your one-stop shop for all your badass clothing needs. Want the newest from Ed Hardy?
They got it.
Want a bowling shirt covered in skulls?
They got it.
Want a belt buckle that says no fat chicks?
They got it.
Boots, vests, belts, martial arts, berets. They got it all at the Rogue House Leather Dojo. Fear me.
Fear me.
Fear me.
The Rogue House Leather Dojo. It's everything you need to tell the world, hey, I'm a tough guy. What are you going to do about it? And downstairs is our award-winning martial arts dojo dungeon. Anything goes in the dungeon. It's mano a mano, no holds barred, bare-knuckle paradise. Want to fight? Bet you don't.
No fat chicks.
Fat chicks. Fat chicks.
Hi. So get on your hog and wheel up to the Rogue House Leather and Martial Arts Dojo Dungeon in Wellsville. Take it from me, James Stewart from 98.5 The Sports Hub. One look at me and you'll be like, no way, Jose. That's a tough guy.
The Rogue House Leather Dojo.
Leather Dojo.
Want to fight? Bet you don't.
My friend is stuck in a tree. He's kind of tangled and
okay.
His pants are stuck. He was trying to get his keys off a tree branch and now he's stuck in the tree.
I have a turkey that came into my house and is sitting in my kitchen.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. I actually had several tweets yesterday. Why did you not play the entire turkey in the kitchen call from Brookline 911 yesterday? I think it's just more that guy just being confused that there's a turkey in his chicken has no or turkey in his kitchen has no idea what to do. I think it had moved into the sink, he said. It just sat there in the sink.
I would have liked to have known that. I agree with the public.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe in a later episode of Brookline 911, we'll bust that entire one out. Well, as you can tell, this is a Toucher and Rich show, minus Fred Toucher. He is not in this morning. Apparently, he's it's coming out both ends, so hopefully he will be okay. In the meantime, we are chasing Joe Murray. He's supposed to be coming in this morning anyway at 7 o'clock for the Bankroll Boys, and hopefully he will be staying for the entire show, which means, of course, we got the Big Johnson chair. Wallach slipping on over.
Hell yeah.
Into mic number two.
Everybody just loves that.
It's master flattering pleat.
I still get people who ask me about that.
The pleat?
Oh, yeah.
That is still, I mean, that's still one of my favorite photos. So if you don't know the story of the flattering pleat, there was a photo when Jimmy Kimmel and Dickie Barrett and Cousin Sal all came in studio, and we spent like an hour with them. And at the end of it, we were taking a picture for the website. And, you know, I post the photo, and I don't think much of it. And after like 5 minutes, I look down, and we've got like over 100 responses, like in like 5 minutes. And I go, what the hell happened? Like, I thought, hey, did you know, something major news break? And I didn't know about this. And I look at it, and everyone's saying, whoa, John Wallach, what's going on with those trousers? And he has, I clicked on it, mm-hmm. And my man's got this pleat where it looks like he's like smuggled a cucumber in his pants. And Johnson and I almost called you Johnson, Big Johnson. And Wallach does nothing to squash it.
No.
Just lets it.
And
say, yep.
By the way, if you were in my position, neither would you.
I wouldn't need to. I think everybody already knows that my nickname was Light Switch. In college,
when you were there,
I've got nothing. Yes. I've got nothing to worry about in that department, John Wallach. Okay. Nothing at all.
Okay.
So John Wallach, you know, for a day, was cock of the walk.
A day? Yeah. How many years has it been?
I guess it's been a while. But yeah. For one day. I mean,
I'm not stopping that.
So that kind of that Big Johnson attitude, it always ends up coming back when Wallach slides over to the second chair and Joe Murray ends up sitting in yours.
Right.
So he'll be there. On top of that, once again, another guest canceled. This is unbelievable.
Which
the streak
one?
That we're on. Well, I mean, it's one of the bankroll boys. And you know what? Lifshatz just he does it to promote his podcast. I wish he didn't skip out, but I mean, you know, what are you going to do? It's early in the morning and they're not getting paid or anything like that. But still, that sucks. Like, our streak of guests canceling is out of control. Yes, Dan.
So in the chaos and confusion that has been the last hour, because as John will probably tell you at some point, I'm a little fired up, but it's been an hour.
Just a touch. Sure.
Actually, we should ask Nick about that if you want to ask.
Yeah, Nick suffered Dan's wrath for about 10 minutes there.
What's wrath, John? I'll give you wrath if you want wrath.
I want to know what happened. All right.
But Dan is coming in. So now there's a turn of events. So
perfect.
Joe Murray is coming in. Dan Lifshatz will be here. We have Dave Richard. We have Mike Gorman. We have Danny Ainge.
Okay. Knock on wood.
It's
still early.
Yeah, it's funny because Danny Ainge, who you know is one of the bigger, like he's always consistent. Like that's one guy who's like I almost never miss. And if he does have to miss it, he lets us know the day beforehand. Like he's one of our most reliable guests. Is Danny Ainge?
I'll find out sometimes 2 or 3 days ahead of schedule.
Like that dude is organized. But I mean,
his people are organized. Yes,
they are. They keep him on track. But I mean, Ted Johnson. You know, we've missed out on him. I know he's been said a couple times he's sick, but it's been like 3 out of the last 4 weeks, I think.
Jake DeBrusk
twice. But DeBrusk, isn't DeBrusk kind of a floating thing? Like,
it's not set Tuesdays.
Oh, is it Wednesdays?
It's Wednesdays.
Okay. That's right. Today Jaffe comes in, which we might want to move that around because we have Jaffe right into DeBrusk.
Well, that's wrong with a big, long Bruins block. Come on.
Then I got Ty Anderson bitching online that we don't have him coming in enough. I love Ty Anderson, but it's like, it's November, early November. You know, I'm sure we'll heat up a little bit more. I love having Ty in, and I hope he doesn't think we're slighting him.
How much campaigning is he doing online?
Well, so like people are tweeting him and he's responding. Ah. So it's not like he's generating
it. It's passive aggressive is what it is.
A little bit. Yeah. And I thought Ty was a little above that, to be quite honest. I thought Ty was a little cooler with everything.
One would think, you know, he bitches so much about traffic, one would think he would relish the opportunity not to have to battle it in early in the morning.
I like having the guy in studio, but I mean, it is also Patriots season. And there's a lot of like Patriots guests. And right now the Bruins are amazing and I love it. And I want to get him in, but I mean, bitching about it isn't like, you know, that's probably not the best way to go. I mean, put it this way. With me, I'd still have no problem if he was bitching. I got a feeling if Ty like throws out one more tweet like that, Fred's going to lose his mind. Because Fred actually even mentioned something off air about like, yeah. Ty just would shut up about not coming on the show. And I'm like, I know. I mean, I want to have him on. He's like, I don't. Because he's bitching. So,
that's,
I mean,
I wasn't here for that, but that sounds about right.
And Fred loves Ty Anderson. We love when he comes in. But I mean, it's very unbecoming of him. Speaking of hockey,
you know what I'd love?
What's that?
I'd love to have Fred on.
Yeah, I mean, Fred and I. There's a code that at least I live by, and that is that if one of us calls in and we're sick, I don't question it. I take him for his word. And
you know what that's called, Rich, and everything that's going on in the news these days. That's called quid pro quo.
but it's called
you do it, so I do it.
At the same time, I think there is a hope within that agreement. That when you do call in, it's more than likely for legit reasons. You know what I mean? It's like I like to think that when you build that kind of trust, it makes you say when you wake up, oh, you know what? I need to rally. And, you know, they've been so cool to me and I'm going to make it in unless you absolutely can't. Now, that I understand. I know it's not always that way, but you're never going to hear me bitch about Fred calling in sick. I'm never going to, although he didn't call in sick. I think we called him this morning and woke him up.
Mike called.
Actually, you know what? No, I think it was the opposite this morning.
He did.
It was one of those things where Mike got a phone call from Fred. Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, all right. Excellent. What time? About what time?
5:25.
Okay. 5:25. That's fine, dude. I mean, as I said, That's that. At least on this side of things, I will never question whether someone is legitimately sick.
Not that I want to toot my own horn.
Yeah.
17 years, 3 sick days.
Hey. Yeah. You should take more.
You're not going to see me between now and the end of the year.
That's right. Stock them all up. Why were you pissed off at Nick?
Because he came in and it was just the way he was phrasing it. Everything was kind of fluid. Let's call it fluid this morning from when I got in. And Joe and Dan, we're on a sort of a group text because they're the Bankroll Boys. Mm-hmm. So I was unaware of anything outside of the activities of what was going on with Dan and Joe. Dan was saying that, you know what, I'm not coming in, not apologizing. And boom, right at that moment, Nick was like, what's up with Joe Murray? And I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he gets very vague, and he's like, is he coming in? And I go, I don't know, Nick. Is he coming in? Like, I snapped. I'm like, I don't know. You tell me. I need to know.
There would be like Apollo 13. Somebody goes up to the head guy who's trying to get him down from his face. Going, is there a problem, guys? What's going on?
You guys playing cards?
Yeah, you guys. Like,
in Animal House, I want to introduce you to.
Remember, I said the word raft.
Jug dish.
Sure.
This is what I saw. Right here.
So can you explain to me exactly what's going on?
It was Nick was aware of events that were happening on social media, which I said was fake news. I kind of joked with him, and I said, that's, you know, I don't know, Nick. I don't know. The only thing I do know is when I contacted both of them yesterday, they both said that they would be here. So if you have other information that you can tell me, and you can tell me right now,
right,
it would be helpful. And it was more along the lines of like, well, I saw this, and I saw this on social media, so I just don't know. And I'm like, so you don't know, really?
So you're offering nothing to the conversation.
Because I know. And I just, as I was doing this, Rich, though, I walked by him probably twice in the hallway, up and down from the you know, where I had to go.
Yeah.
And I just was like, okay, Nick, just please walk with me. Tell me what's going on.
You needed older brothers. Because, like, that's one of those things that you learn when you're a younger brother. They would just say, you shut the hell up. You know, it's like, you're being annoying. Like, that's just something that you end up, like, living in a family where there's, you know, people that will be completely honest about you being a dick. Like, that's kind of the benefit to having something like that. Nick, obviously, no older brothers who kind of put him in his place when something like that would happen.
Did Nick post a photo last night of having dinner and a cat meowing? Yes, he did. Why did you do that?
Nick's now posting cat videos.
Seriously! And he was sitting with his lovely girlfriend, who we all love, and for some reason, there was a 7-second video of him sitting across the table from his girlfriend, and then he pans over and the cat meows at the girlfriend, and that's the end of the video.
Why would you do that?
Why in the world would you post that?
I mean, listen, I post stupid stuff on Twitter.
Is that worth him coming in to explain?
No.
No.
But it's worth him taking 10 minutes to figure out how to work the mic in there and try to explain.
Okay. In a studio that's not on the air.
In a studio that's not on the air. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. So the show will go on. So do we know, is Joe Murray able to stay for the rest of the show after Bankroll
Absolutely.
Boys?
Just texted me. Yes, just alerted me to the fact that he's our guy.
John just got very excited. Very, very excited. The man will not be able to stand up.
Yep, going to have to move furniture now.
That's right. We're going to have to move things around.
Yep.
But we will have Joe Murray in studio for the rest of the morning starting at 7 o'clock. Also, Mike Gorman at 8:20. He will definitely be on. I know that because he felt very bad about the other day missing it. He did not realize his weekly segment had started. So he is going to be on then. Also, Danny Ainge at 9 a.m. And we're going to talk next about a person that had a true vendetta against this show, breaking a little news yesterday. Somebody who hates a member of this show so much that he threatened physical violence against one of us makes a little bit of news. We will get to that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston's home for sports. Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
.985 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985.
If you want to weigh in, there's one less voice for the next hour, so maybe there'll be more time for yours. After the Sixers lost last night in Utah, the Boston Celtics will go into Charlotte tonight alone atop the East, which, of course, in November means they're winning a championship.
How many wins you got them down for?
I said, what? What did I say? 49? What did they have?
Same as last year, 49.
No, I said two more than last year. I
think oh, you
I
said 51?
I think I said 51.
I thought you said the exact same.
Maybe I did. I don't even care this year because I don't have any. I didn't at the beginning of the season have any expectations of them like winning a championship or anything like that. You know what? Just mark me in for the same as last year. I'll say 49, even though I probably would change that. But either way, but it'll be where tonight is a revenge game. Terry Rozier, a.k.a. the man who will completely live up to his mammoth new contract with the Hornets. He did an interview yesterday with a radio host in Charlotte named Kyle Bailey. Now, if that name sounds familiar, he's the guy who, during the Stanley Cup playoffs, threatened to fly up here and beat up Fred. That's right. He said, name the time, name the place. And Fred said, what, are you just going to sneak up on me at a baseball field? When my kids like, what is your plan here? He's also the one who doubted that I spent a lot of my childhood in the South because my last name was Shirtenlieb, which was really weird. It can be interpreted in many different ways. Like, that was one that made you go, ooh, he gads.
Yep.
I think that was one. I read that on the air because it was one of his tweets, and it was like, not a lot of people named Shirtenlieb down south or something like that. Like, I don't know if they're welcome here or something like that. And I was like, whoa, what does that mean? And I'm paraphrasing. And I think me talking about that earned me a nice little block from Kyle Bailey.
Oh, terrible. He blocked you on Twitter?
I guess so.
Awful.
Because this morning I was trying to see if he was talking about this, but he interviewed Terry Rozier. And here is Rozier talking to North Carolina's version of Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just anxious more than anything. I always get the anxious feeling before the game. So I wouldn't say nervous or anything like that. But like I said, I love playing the game. It's going to be a lot of fun, man, for the people to watch.
Mm-hmm. He's putting up 50 tonight. He's going to show those Celtics, you should have kept me. And then Danny's going to go, yep, I should have.
I don't think that's going to happen. Either one of those things is going to happen.
I mean, is that the worst contract from this offseason? That has to be the worst contract it's up there. This offseason.
It's up there. Look, Charlotte needed a point guard, and Terry Rozier showed enough during the period of time that Kyrie Irving was out that you look at and go, well, there's potential there. Now, the amount of money he got is insane.
Yeah.
But they needed a starting point guard, so I understand why they chased after him.
Dan mentioned, you know, he said it's almost as bad as the one a couple years ago with Evan Turner, and Evan Turner got paid a ridiculous amount of money, but Evan Turner was one of those guys that – I mean, as a sixth man, I mean, the dude was energy. Like, I loved Evan Turner on this team. But, I mean,
the rules were a little different. The salary cap had just spiked. So there was plenty of money to be spent by a lot of NBA teams. And if you take a look at a lot of contracts that were signed over that summer, you go, oh, my God, that's insane.
Yeah.
And Evan Turner turned out to be a free agent at exactly the right time. Terry Rozier signed a 3-year, $56 million contract.
Dan just said, is that this season that you said? Yeah, he's averaging what?
I think he's averaging 4 points a game. He's played in three.
Okay.
He scored 12 points.
Yeah. But when they first got him, I'm sure he was fine. I don't quite remember what his stats were, but I mean, you
salary's right there at $16.99 million.
That is a little nuts. That is a little nuts. But put it this way, I would any day rather have Evan Turner on my team than Terry Rozier. I thought that Evan Turner was more reliable. He was more consistent. He was a better culture setter. I mean, he's a guy that players love to play with. Not that Terry Rozier isn't, but I don't get that from him, that vibe. And also, on top of that, Evan Turner had the greatest voice. It sounded exactly like Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Another quick NBA note, by the way, Giannis airballed another free throw last night.
Saw that.
And this one didn't even graze the bottom of the net. That's on top of the two that he airballed when he played the Celtics. But at least those were close to hitting, like getting a little brush with rope.
I got to be honest with you.
That's three this season by my count, and I haven't watched every free throw, but I mean, I rarely see that. I know it happens, not three within a couple of like a week of each other, but that is just weird that one of the best stars, if not the best star in the NBA, continues to consistently airball free throws. I don't know if did he do that last year?
No, I didn't think so. No, and this is the kind of thing that leads to the yips a little bit.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly what I mean. That you're exactly right.
But I'm wondering, and I know he's a big guy, but he's never had this problem before as far as I know. It's not like a Dwight Howard situation or like a Shaq situation where they just are huge and they can't get the angle on it. This is a guy who normally hits his free throws, who's airballing him now, which is very, very strange. So I guess that means he's not a good NBA player. Well, Danny Ainge will be on with us at 9 a.m.
He's shooting 10% less from the line this year.
Okay, that's
72 last year, 64 this year, and it was even better 2 and 3 years ago. So his free throw percentage is going down.
So he's only hitting 62 this year?
63.
Or 63%? All right.
Yep.
That is the MVP of the league doing that. Danny Ainge on with us at 9 a.m. Mike Gorman at 8:20 a.m. And in the last practice the Patriots have before heading out to their bye week, Tom Brady took the field with a brace on his left knee, season over. But hey, that means that, by the way, four people have a heart attack. No, season is not over. Just want to clarify that for the Patriots Brigade, the Patriots Protectors. That is not something that that I was being serious about.
It's Chris from Raynham on line two.
Well, the reason I say that is that it's amazing how like people will take things and just completely find something to rally about when they have no sarcasm meter at all when it comes to the Patriots. But look at this. Tom Brady apparently found a Jim Gray replacement to temporarily interview him. And that person? Scott Zolak. Now listen, one thing about Zoe is that he's one of the few people I know not named John Bon Jovi that can make Bill Belichick smile on a regular basis. Let's see if Zolak can be the one person that can make a Tom Brady interview not the most boring interview of the week.
Give me the state of your team right now at the bye. We do this every year at the bye.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, hasn't all been perfect, but 8-1, I don't think anybody's going to complain about that. I think our entire season is determined by what happens from this point on. You know, we've had our ups and downs. Certainly our defense has been playing great. You know, offensively, I think hopefully we can get some continuity and grow and learn and, you know, become the version that we'd all expect ourselves to become. So I'm excited for what's ahead.
Nope.
So boring.
So nope. Not even your powers can prevent Tom from being the most mundane interview in sports. And I know that it works for him, and I have no problem with it. But, I mean, anybody that tunes in to hear Tom Brady, I mean, you're going to get a whole bunch of nothing. Except for, of course, when he got mad at the media for him filming that Netflix special. That was the one time I was like, all right, well, we got a little bit of fire. Like, this seems like it's really coming from him, and it's not something that is just giving everybody. You know, him and Bill Belichick essentially say the same thing, but he does it in a way that makes you feel like he's actually told you something. Like, Bill Belichick will just tell you nothing, literally, and he'll, like, give you a three-word answer and stare you down condescendingly and grunt. Where Tom Brady will do it with a smile and he'll expand on it, but all of the words truly mean nothing in the end. And I guess that's served them very well, but let's not pretend that the Tom Brady interview is anything less than just words in the air that go nowhere. But the opposite of mundane is, of course, Rob Gronkowski. To be quite honest, if he is indeed retiring, has been way less visual than I thought he'd be at this point. Other than, of course, a few appearances on the NFL on Fox and hawking his CBD oil, I thought he'd be starring in movies with The Rock and be on, you know, having more TV space. But maybe we know why he's been all quiet on the Gronk front, and that's because he's been filming a new TV show called Game On, described as a new sports game show on CBS with Venus Williams and co-hosted by Keegan-Michael Kay of Key and Peele fame, the one who's not making movies like Us and Get Out. And according to The Globe, Game On is based on the UK's TV show A League of Their Own. And according to the press release, Gronk, Williams, and Key are also executive producing the show with, oh, I wish Fred was here, James Corden, who hosted the show. Methinks within the first 2 weeks, there is a James Corden appearance, and you're going to see Gronk and James Corden together. And just, I think Gronk's going to be confused.
Singing a Broadway tune?
Oh, sure. He's
something from Cats, perhaps?
Well, Corden's going to come out with his jazz hands. It's just Gronk's going to get all his head's going to spin. By the way, speaking of Cats, he's in that new Cats movie. Have you seen the trailer of that?
Yes.
Mortifying.
Yes.
Like nightmare fodder. It looks like when people used to make those mashups of Nicolas Cage as a cat, like Nicolas Cage Cats, just something that like shouldn't have ever been made. Somebody very wise in the studio should have stepped in and got, no, we're not going to actually transform them into creepy-ass looking cats. But Gronkowski and Serena Williams are going to team together to, quote, go head-to-head in over-the-top physical challenges, from seeing who can dunk the most basketballs over a tank of water while being harnessed on a bungee cord to taking on a sumo wrestler in the ring.
And they said they'll answer trivia and do all that stuff like that. CBS did not say when the show would air. I mean, I'm going to watch it because of Rob Gronkowski, but other than that, it sounds awful.
Answering trivia questions? This is part of it?
Yeah, but Gronk has nothing to do with that.
Okay, like, I'm just like, going to say America's not going to tune in for that.
No. It's going to be like part trivia, and then, you know what I imagine this? Basically being like the adult version of Double Dare.
Okay.
So you answer your questions, and then there's some sort of physical challenge where you have to go out there and Rob Gronkowski says something witty before, you know, you dunk a bunch of basketballs. And that's going to be the extent of it.
You know what the show I want to see come back and I miss a lot is Pros versus Joes. That's the show I liked. And I would tune in and watch that every week. Rob Gronkowski on Pros versus Joes.
Yeah, that seems like didn't they try to bring that back a few years ago? Maybe they did. Maybe I'm thinking American Gladiators, which is another show that if they would have brought it back and done it right, that would have been a great show. American Gladiators was excellent. Nobody was on steroids on that show, especially the women. No, everything was natural.
I remember they had it's funny you bring that up because I was talking about this with a buddy of mine a couple of weeks ago. There was this huge Amazon blonde named Helga that scared the crap out of everybody.
She was one of the best.
Reboot.
She was one of the best in that game. Like, you rooted for Helga to take on the women.
Want to talk about a woman who may or may not have been taking performance-enhancing drugs. 6 feet tall, 220 pounds, just a massive individual.
They did reboot it. And Gina Carano, I think, remember her? She was one of the gladiators. What the hell happened to that? I think like Seth Rogen was behind it. If you rebooted it and it wasn't a success, then you did it completely wrong. Then you completely whiffed on it because the formula for that is excellent. I mean, it was essentially The Running Man, except nobody ended up dying and there weren't Woody Schwarzenegger one-liners before he ended up, you know, shoving something, you know, where the sun don't shine. By the way, The Running Man, the best Schwarzenegger movie for like one-off one-liners per minute. He might have 70 one-liners in that movie. Now that hit the spot.
Former Zero, now just
That's the worst
Sub-Zero,
line.
Now just plain Zero.
That doesn't even make sense. That might be the worst Schwarzenegger line of all time. All right, when we get back, there is a gentleman who's extremely pissed off at Baker Mayfield, and then Baker Mayfield tells us why he ended up shaving between the game's loss and coming out and talking to the press and looking like Columbo. 98.5,
the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
You like poking him?
We don't talk about things like that in here.
Oh, we do.
Toucher and Rich.
I'm getting nervous.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What the hell was that?
That was my fault. That's all my fault. That's the thing. You concentrate on moving
swinging over to that
that's
chair.
Right. That's right.
I have it here. Speaking of swinging,
now.
Okay.
I have it here. Would you like me to do it now? Would that be
helpful? Well, there's an obligation to do that.
Let's do that. Time and temperature brought to you by Dodge Power Dollars. It is 54 degrees. It's 6:38. Get Dodge Power Dollars with the new Dodge vehicle purchase. The math is simple. For every horsepower of your new vehicle, you'll get $10 off. Peeling out in the Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye, you just got $7,970 off.
Yeah, so Joe Murray comes in, Wallach slides over to the other chair, and is too busy peacocking that he completely forgets about his obligation. Joe Murray hasn't even been set up.
And I know.
Like, the mic's come on. He's like, oh, what do you want from me, Joe? This is on your time.
Yeah.
You're the one in the seat. You're the one just sitting there.
Yeah. Even Joe Murray's sitting there.
Yeah. So, Joe, thank you for coming.
That is my fault.
So I'll get it. Mr. Jamelli reached out on my Facebook account yesterday.
Ooh.
Wow.
Said Joe Murray with an arm around a woman. And he made a comment on Facebook yesterday. So
I didn't realize he was active on Facebook.
He is active.
Okay, I know he's a big Twitch guy. I know he's always on Twitch. I didn't realize that he is reaching out to. Now, is this the first time he's ever?
I believe so. He's liked some things before.
This isn't a fake Mark Jamelli because
I don't believe so.
There's a lot of imposters.
There are.
Mm-hmm. That's
a lot of people want to be that guy.
Good question.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming in early. I know you guys are supposed to come in at 7 o'clock, but You're going to be staying for the entire show because Fred apparently has a squirt. Yes, thank you very much for coming in. Well, Baker Mayfield, after another embarrassing loss this past week, did something very strange, and that was between the actual loss itself and talking to the press, he shaved. He thought that was more important than actually addressing the media, and apparently the loss was so rough for him that he said, you know what, time to shave this Fu Manchu. Somebody in the press asked him about that yesterday, and he had a fairly interesting answer when it came to that.
Are you aware how much attention facial hair has received on social media? And is there any story behind changing it?
No, the quarterbacks had a Movember mustache, and the original thought for me, I do the handlebars. I was undefeated before Sunday with the handlebar mustache, so I shaved it off because I didn't deserve it.
That mustache didn't deserve you, Baker. Would you be pissed if, like, your quarterback just went and got out there and your team's crapped itself and he was like, you know what, I think I'm going to shave before I go out there and talk to the press?
Why would you be pissed? There's plenty of things to be pissed at Baker Mayfield about. I think this is kind of low on the list.
Because it's kind of douchey.
Oh, it's so douchey.
But, I mean, that's what he is. You walk in that locker room, that's what he is.
See, I didn't think he was like that before.
Oh, that's Baker.
I don't know. I mean, before it was about grabbing his crotch at the other team across the road.
How'd you miss it? He spent an entire year being that way before he got drafted.
Then the commercials that he has and everything. I mean, it is starting to get pretty bad.
I mean,
been that way the whole time.
I wish he was better, and I've said this for a while now because I want there to be a villain in the NFL, and it's tough to find a good one, like somebody who is visceral in your hatred, the way that Red Sox fans hated A-Rod for years. Like somebody that just, you saw him, you're like, oh, I hate his face. And someone who's legitimately really good. Somebody who, like, you know, might have even broken your heart a few times as a fan. He's never going to do that. And there was such potential there for just him to be that guy. And for a while, I thought it might be Brock Osweiler. I was like, oh, this guy, he had that tattoo, so like, laugh now or something like that. And I was like, oh, you douche. And on top of that, like the way he spoke and the way he did the Gruden camp as if he was like, you know, cock of the walk. And now you've got Baker Mayfield not living up to the promise of someone that I want to hate. Because outside of that, like who is there in the NFL that's like a true villain?
I never liked Philip Rivers.
But you see, you know? He but earned not, my respect though. But, because, yeah. Like, he's one of those guys that I used to hate. But I think after the game where he played with, like, the torn ACL, yeah. And, like, he's too funny to be, I mean, with the whole thing with a million kids and all that. Like, I mean, like, he's just too weird and funny.
Only nine.
Yeah.
Only like, nine kids.
I can't hate the guy.
Rich has a point. There's no one really in the NFL that you can't stand. Mayfield, if he was a little bit better, it'd be easier to kind of slide him into that category. But he's just so mediocre.
NBA.
At this point.
NBA.
You feel sad. Rather than hate him.
NBA, LeBron, Kyrie Irving. Like, I mean, sure. Easily.
Kyrie, well, you can pick two that Kyrie is way beyond LeBron at this point.
What about Ben Roethlisberger?
No.
I don't like him, and I think he's like a douche, and obviously he's probably not a good guy. But he, enough. You know, the closest might be Aaron Rodgers,
but not even that.
Like Jay Cutler when he played was probably one of those.
All right, that's fair.
Jay Cutler to me made me laugh because he was just so nonchalant about everything. And smoking Jay Cutler was one of the best internet memes for a while.
And he wasn't really an upper echelon quarterback ever. Yeah,
and J.J. Watt does too much outside.
Yeah, and J.J. Watt. See, J.J. Watt could have been that guy. But after he did that, it's like, all right, dude, I'm not gonna kill a guy. And maybe it also just kind of got boring ripping on him. But I mean, you can look at. I don't know. For me in baseball, David Price is that guy. And I love the Red Sox, but I can't stand David Price.
No, but
like, he drives me crazy.
David
when he
Price was the backbone of winning a World Series. I'm sorry, that takes him out of the category.
But minutes later, he did that. No, I hold all the cards.
Well, and you know what? Maybe, but I mean, after a year, after a career of getting crapped on for one thing, if I'm him, I'm stepping out in front of the media and say, F all of you guys, I just won a World Series.
Like NHL's got some good guys you can hate. And I'll tell you what.
Crosby's a perfect example.
Crosby's up there. His whining is bitching. I mean, he's unbelievably talented, and he's broken the hearts of Bruins fans as well. He's perfect. He's perfect for that. I mean, then there's guys who've done like really awful things, like injure people, and that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm someone that's fun to hate. And the NFL, unfortunately, is fairly devoid of that right now. I can't think of anyone. And for a while, it was Like, Rex Ryan was great. Like, he was a great villain.
See.
And Bart Scott was, like, a great villain. Like, he got under your skin. He pissed you off so
much.
There
are guys that have gotten away with things that are back playing. Like, for example, Adrian Peterson, Tyreek Hill. I mean, they're playing. Peterson is now an afterthought where he is.
It's not even criminal, though. That's not, because that takes the fun out of it.
No, I understand, but I mean, you know, there are guys that are defiant. Like, Tyreek Hill is basically defiant and is playing and not answering questions. I agree with you, Rich. There's not a guy who fits the category you're looking for. There are guys that are kind of around the periphery of that for different reasons. I think Tyreek Hill's one of them.
I've got two people saying, guys, hate to say it, but Brady is the villain in the NFL. Well, that's true. But I'm a fan of the Patriots, so he's not a villain for me. For everyone else, I'm sure everybody hates Tom Brady. That is completely true. Somebody said Richard Sherman was a great villain. Not anymore, though. And he said, but the "you mad bro" thing was awesome. And of course, how good the Seahawks were and those. He was a pretty damn good villain.
That was a while ago now. That was what? 5 years ago?
Someone said Jalen Ramsey. I like Jalen Ramsey. I love people who run their mouth.
But he didn't break your heart.
Yeah, he's also not somebody who's done anything that truly has pissed me off. Let's go to line one. Martin, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. How about Patrick Mahomes? I mean, he beat us, he beat the Patriots, during, opening night. And he just has that look that, he thinks he's better than you, and it's just, he's incredibly talented. He's going to be around for a while. I don't know.
But you just beat him in the AFC Championship game. He didn't break your heart, he's not an ass.
Not only that, I can't think of a more likable guy. I mean, what has he done to make you hate him? He hasn't said anything douchey.
The ketchup stuff. Now he's a State Farm guy. I mean, no, he hasn't really done anything whatsoever. And that QB sneak, I think more people were worried about his future than him actually playing football and him, taking the last few weeks off. So I don't think he's a hateable guy.
No, I'd say he's pretty damn far.
What about Eli Manning? I know he doesn't play anymore,
he's not a good villain because he's such a derp. That dude's just an open mouth gump.
He didn't say anything. He broke your heart. Yeah, but I mean,
twice.
You can be somebody who's a legitimate great talent, not great talent, but somebody who did something on a big stage that embarrassed your team and not be a villain. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. The payoff is he's been mediocre for his entire career, other than those two playoff runs. But I mean, we look at him. I can dance around because he's not a good quarterback.
Somebody said Steve Smith. I love Steve Smith.
Oh, Steve Smith was great. And Aqib Talib, that was awesome.
That was the best. And Aqib Talib versus Michael Crabtree was my favorite with the chain snatching. Where he said, if you wear that chain out of this field, Aqib Talib said, I'm going to snatch it off your neck. And sure enough, in the game, he ripped it off and threw it on the ground. Now we're talking. That's a guy you can get behind. That's not a villain. That's a hero. Let's go to Aaron. What's up, Aaron? You're on Toucher and Rich. Aaron.
Hey, just wanted to talk to you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
For everybody else in the NFL, Tom Brady is the villain.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, we talked about that, but it's, but he's not a villain for me right now. Let's go to, let's go to line one. Line one. Matt.
Hello. NFL's looking for a great villain?
Yeah.
I think Cam Newton, the way he comes out with his press conferences, talking to the media, rolling his eyes, and dressing like Mrs. Howell from Gilligan's Island.
I mean, he's pretty close, but he's broken now. So it's like you can't really kill the guy when he's not even playing that much. Somebody said Lane Johnson. That's a good one. Like Lane Johnson with his whole "we have fun" and all that. That's pretty good.
I know, but he's a tackle. You can't.
I was going to say Richie Incognito.
Incognito isn't like killing you. There's got to be two requirements. You have to be a trash talking douche, and you have to have done something that legitimately pissed you off as a fan of the team that you enjoy. That's what makes a great villain.
Lane Johnson is a tackle. I mean, who watches a tackle?
But he's also one of the most vocal guys from that Eagles team.
He's there unless they're playing Philadelphia next to you.
And that pisses me off even more is that it's an offensive lineman who's talking the most trash on that team.
No so, offense, yeah. Matt Light, but you know, really.
Just, you mentioned Odell. We haven't even mentioned Odell Beckham, really. He's been like the good guy on the Browns this year. And how much does he want to play for the Patriots, right?
I know.
Keeps kissing Tom Brady's ass. I actually thought he would help that whole situation fall apart.
Yeah.
And really, it's the coach and everybody else.
He's kind of, other than, of course, like, you know, the watch and the cleats and stuff like that, you know, kind of clownish behavior. You're right. He's kind of on the outside looking in. And I think he's doing the right thing. He's like, listen, if this is going to burn and burn to the ground, then I'm looking for a trade next year. Maybe you can get me on a better team. Which, by the way, rumors are saying that if it does go down in flames, then they might consider trading him. All right, we'll take your call. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
State law.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue.
Ooh.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Zone.
Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Real quick, off the air, Joe Murray just said, I don't know if I would admit this, but I went to a Red Lobster this weekend for the first time, and I said to him, I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't need to admit this. Those cheddar biscuits are legitimately amazing. And what did you respond with?
I freaked out. Yes, they were.
Dude, they're the greatest thing. I you know what? People like sometimes will talk about chain restaurants and just completely dismiss them. Mm. Like, I mean, there are certain chain restaurants that have a menu item that just is better than most anything else. Like, I mean, think of like people kind of tool about the Olive Garden sometimes.
Breadsticks.
Their breadsticks.
Breadsticks are outstanding.
Some of the best.
Yep.
And the unlimited salad and breadsticks, yep. I could just go in and just kill that the entire
Bertucci's
time.
Bertucci's rolls. I'm obsessed with the
That's
Bertucci's
right.
rolls.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's good.
When you go to like a Not Your Average Joe's or anything, they get that the oil with the cheese. Yep. Like Cheesecake Factory has it too. Yeah.
The Outback soup that they've got there, the cheese soup, the potato soup. It used to be called Walkabout Soup. They changed the name. And it is, that is, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not nice towards people who go on Walkabout. I don't know. But it is one of my favorite menu items that's out there. And I just love how there's this like elitism about like chain restaurants and. I mean, a lot of these are around because they have one or two menu items that will just rip your head off. They're so good. What were you about to say, Dan?
I was going to say that Joe obviously wasn't in the state of Massachusetts because Red Lobsters don't exist.
I've never been to a Red Lobster.
I've never been to a Red Lobster. There just aren't any anywhere near here.
Well, because you can get cheap real lobster like all over
all
over the state. I mean,
now that's true. If you go to Florida, there's two kinds of lobster out there. Obviously, there's the main that you can get, you know, locally here. And then there's some white stuff that they call lobster that is not, and it's gross.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That warm water lobster, out.
Yeah. Out on
right.
that.
Yeah, he's right.
But they're all, like, I like, you know, you crap on Chili's, but I kind of like their salsa and their queso. They have a pretty good queso.
I've never had a problem with Chili's fajitas. Like, Chili's fajitas, I mean, I obviously know that there's better ones out there. I haven't eaten it out. I don't mind Chili's. I like Chili's. But I mean, I love it. The minute that something is like a chain, they just get dismissed.
I didn't want to admit it, but I went to a Red Lobster and I enjoyed it.
I'm telling you.
And those biscuits were amazing. I actually got like, do you want more biscuits? I'm like, yes.
All right. Let's quickly go to, all right. We'll wrap this up. Let's go to Troy because I love what Bird put down. He put Troy. We're talking about there's no villains in the NFL, or it doesn't seem to be. And Troy Bird put down, Rich, that linebacker. Troy.
Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, he's pretty good. That's a pretty good. I mean, he's like, yeah. I mean, is there a dirtier player in the league than Vontaze Burfict? I mean, he's out for the season because of how dirty he was. He's a good villain. Although, once again, I don't know if that fits in the broke my heart category, the two things that truly have to piss you off.
Dan O'Brien had a real good one during the break, and it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen.
It's going to happen
in February. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, if okay.
If Garoppolo
because
plays
he's going to break your heart,
beats him in the Super Bowl, he will be hated here forever.
Oh, that's great.
Will he be hated, or will he be like looked at with like puppy eyes as the one who got away?
I think he'll be hated by many. You kidding me? The Christian Ravens are protectors
right
of the wall.
The middle, man.
Oh, there will be two different types.
Like
of
the world
factions.
Will be rooting for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
everybody
yeah, yeah.
here is
okay. You joke, and you are. I mean, you think that this isn't going to happen, but I guarantee you, if for some reason, and Vegas says that there could be a chance, and Adam Schefter even like teased this. But if Tom Brady ends up leaving and goes to another AFC team and finds success, there's going to be a buttload of people in New England who are going to look at him as villain number one. And I know that there's a lot of people say, oh, I can never do that about Tom Brady. I couldn't do it. Well, I mean, there's been a decent amount of people who won championships for a team, ended up leaving and going somewhere else. And the next day, there's videos all over the internet of their jerseys being burned. Yeah. It happens all
sure.
the time.
Yeah.
Johnny Damon was really big here when he left and went to the Yankees. That was big.
Dude, Vinatieri got booed when he came back.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, fans here do
like,
not.
And Vinatieri went for like more money. I almost never fault somebody if they leave a team and go somewhere else for a better contract. Mm. Now, if it's a Ray Allen situation where he took half the amount of money to go play for the direct villains and chase a ring, I'll forever hate that guy. Now, that's you want to talk about a heel turn.
He made the right decision, though, in the end.
He won them a ring. He won LeBron a ring. He did. And I know you can say that, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to forever hate the guy. Mm. He was right. He's proven he was right. But F that guy. And I loved Ray Allen. Now, that's a guy that broke your heart.
Yep.
Ray Allen, perfect example. Perfect example. All right. The Bankroll Boys are here in studio. Both of them. After a false alarm, we got Lifshads here. Joe Murray, the two have been on a roll, at least with me. So we will talk to them about the upcoming slate of NFL games, and now you can win some cash right after John Walk's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.